Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is John Wadsworth talking to you from Pearl River, and we're going to discuss in the Genesis Record a scientific and devotional commentary on the Book of Beginnings by Henry Morris. We're going to go over Genesis 1, 14 through 19. And the Genesis Record is by the Institute of Creation Research. So let's begin our reading. Genesis 1, 14 through 19. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to be and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. On the first day of creation, God created and energized the entire universe, the infinite sphere of divine activity and purpose. On the second day, he made the primeval hydrosphere and atmosphere for the terrestrial sphere. On the third day, he made the Earth's lithosphere and plant biosphere. Finally, on the fourth day, he made the astrosphere, the celestial sphere, of the stars and planets surrounding and illuminating the terrestrial sphere. On the first day, he said, "Let there be light." And the Hebrew word is or. O-R. On the fourth day, he said, "Let there be lights," or light givers, and the Hebrew word for that is ma'or, or M-A-O-R. Intrinsic light first, then generators of light later, is both the logical and the biblical order. The chief purpose of both the light of the first day, 3 days, and the light givers of all later days was to divide the light from the darkness, verses Genesis 1, verses 4 and 18. And this can only mean that the two regimes were essentially identical. The duration of the days and nights was the same in each case, and the directions of light emanation on the earth from space must have been the same on each case. In other words, light rays were impinging on the earth as it rotated on its axis during the first 3 days of essentially the same intensity and direction as those which would later emanate from the heavenly bodies to be emplaced on the fourth day, coming during the day as though from the sun, and during the night as though from the moon and stars, even though they had not yet been made. In such a concept, if such a concept sounds strange, let it be remembered that it is as easy for God to create waves of light energy as to create generators to produce such waves. There was no need for such generators except to serve the additional function after man's creation of marking signs and seasons, days and years. It therefore did not take billions of years for the light from a star, which is a billion light years distance from the earth, to reach the earth after the star was created. The light trail from the star was created in transit, as it were, all the way from the star to the earth 3 days before the star itself was created. As noted earlier, the universe was created full grown from the beginning. God did not require millions of years to develop it into its intended usable form. The purpose of the heavenly bodies was to give light upon the earth, so this is what they did right from the beginning. Some have objected to this concept on the basis of evolutionary changes supposedly taking place in the stars. The fact is, however, no one has ever observed such changes taking place. As long as men have been observing the stars, they have always looked as they do now, allowing, of course, for changes in orientation due to the Earth's rotation, orbital revolution, and axial wobble. The only possible exception of any consequence to the statement might be the novas or supernovas that are occasionally observed in the heavens when the stars apparently heat up or explode. Some of these have been observed in galaxies supposedly hundreds of thousands of light years from the Earth. The argument is, therefore, that the stellar event produced a nova or supernova must have taken place the corresponding number of hundreds of thousands of years ago. This may constitute a minor problem, but there are several possible answers. The tremendous stellar distance commonly cited or obtained only on the basis of a number of very esoteric and questionable assumptions. Geometric methods for measuring such astronomical distances can reach only to about 330 light years. So greater distance are uncertain, to say the least. Furthermore, there is no assurance of the uniformity of the speed of light at such tremendous distances. There exist respectable models of relativity and space curvature, for example, which yield light motions such that light would reach the Earth even from infinite distances in only a few years. Finally, there is no reason why God could not, if he had so willed, created pulses in the trails of some of the light waves created traversing space in the beginning. When such pulses reach the Earth, they would then be interpreted as, say, novas. Then they were in reality merely created bursts of energy in the light trails, various stars. Though the reason for God doing such a thing is not yet clear, that in itself is no argument against it. God may have reasons for some of his acts of creation, which we do not yet understand, and our ignorance is no reason for questioning his purposes. In any case, our uncertainty as to the exact reconciliation of these distant novas with a recent creation of the universe cannot offset the clear biblical testimony to such recent creation. The lights were set in the firmament of heaven, but this was not the same firmament as formed on the second day. The latter is the open firmament of heaven where birds were to fly. Verse 20. As noted above, firmament may apply to any particular region of space as determined by context. In verse 8, we were told that God called the firmament heaven. Evidently, firmament is the common term and heaven is the formal name of for any firmament or space which has been designated as a particular sphere of God's creative or purpose activity. The fact that both sun and moon are called light givers does not suggest that they are of the same substance. One actually generates light, whereas the other only reflects light, but both give light far as their functions relative to the earth are concerned. It is interesting that the stars are mentioned as of only minor importance relative to the sun and moon. He made the stars also. Even though stars are incomparably bigger than the earth, and many of them even larger than our sun, they are of much simpler structure than the earth. A star is mostly hydrogen and helium, essentially quite simple, whereas the structure of the earth is of great complexity, perfectly and uniquely designed for living creatures. Complexity and organization are much more meaningful measures of significance than mere size. There is no need to try to correlate the simple record of the making of the stars with various modern theories of stellar evolution. It is sufficient to note that there are all at best only interesting speculations, none of which is generally accepted and all of which encounter important objections. On the other hand, there is no reason at all, other than naturalistic prejudice, not to believe that the stars were made just as they are now. No one has ever seen a star or galaxy evolve or change at all. Since the heavenly bodies were to be used to denote the seasons as well as the days and years, it is obvious that there were to be distinct seasons through the year. And this implies that the earth's axis was inclined as it is at present. Although the vapor canopy maintained a warm climate everywhere, there would still have been slight seasonal changes in temperature. The use of the stars also for signs is somewhat more uncertain in meaning. Although various suggestions have been made, the most natural interpretation is that this term has references to various star groups, which would serve both for easy visual recognition of the advancing days and years, and also, by extension, for tokens of the advancing stages of God's purpose in creation. If so, however, these zodiacal signs were soon corrupted into pagan astrology. The phrase and it was so occurs in the passage for the fourth time out of six in Genesis 1. Genesis 1 verses 7, 9, 11, 15, 24, and 30. Account thus stresses that what God says, he also does. The phrase, and God said, occurs 10 times in Genesis 1, verses 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, 24, 26, 28, 29. The first seven of these were each followed by a creative command beginning with the imperative word, let. Finally, the work of the fourth day of creation was also summarized by an assertion that God saw it all to be good. There was at that time nothing on any of the stars, planets, satellites, or any other heavenly body that was out of place or indicative of conflict or catastrophe anyway. Thank you for listening. That's finishing out a reading. We'll take up from there next time, Genesis 1, 20 through 23. Hopefully you have a blessed day. God bless you. And if you want to contact me, my email is wsm217@gmail.com. God bless. Oh. Let me say this real quickly. For over 50 years, the Institute for Creation Research has equipped believers with evidence of the Bible's accuracy and authority through scientific research, educational programs, and media presentations, all conducted with a thoroughly biblical framework. For more information, visit ICR's website at icr.org.